Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Who's excited to hear the Word of God this morning? All right, okay, good. We're into a brand new series. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. And God, ask God to bless the word this morning. Thank you, Father. What an awesome privilege it is to sit in your house and hear your word. You know, and they say that maybe sitting in church, listening to a message, maybe 4% of our life. But how powerful that 4% can be if we not only just hear the word, but we put it into practice. I pray this morning we would not just hear it, we would put it into practice and keep on doing it. And then we would see the powerful effects of the word in our life and how it touches the world through us as we get your word and we get your spirit into us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. We're into a new series. Well, second week into the series, it's called Revive. Revive. And Pastor Mel said last week, Pastor Mel Mullen from Home Church was here, and he kicked off the series. He said, we need to turn up the heat. In our walk with God. You agree with that? We need to turn up the heat in our walk with God. See, we can be one of two things. We can be our lives, we can be like a thermometer. We can be affected by all the things that are happening around us. Or we can be like a thermostat. You can turn up the heat. It's time to turn up the temperature. Turn up the thermostat in your life. It's time to turn up the thermostat, not just in your home, but in your life. Amen? Can you say with me, turn it up. Turn it up. This week's message of this revival series is called, Why We Need Revival. We need revival. The truth is, we need revival. The truth is, we need revival in our lives. We need revival in our families. We need revival in our church. We need revival in our nation. We need revival. What is revival? Revival simply is this, on your PowerPoint, renewed attention. Renewed attention back to God, His ways, His life, His purpose for our life. Amen? It's growth, it's activity, it's increase. That's revival. And really what it boils down to, it's simply just a return to God. That's what revival is. Other words that help us to understand what revival is. Here's a whole list Pastor Mel gave to you last week. I want to give them to you again. Revival is, to revive is to restore. It's to reactivate. It's to be refreshed. It's to be renewed. It's to be revitalized. It's to recover. Revival is about rebirth. Revival is about realigning our lives and our purpose back to God's ways. To revive is to respond to God. To revive is to receive from God. To revive is to be released into the full purpose and destiny for which God created you and made you. To be revived is to be recharged. How many need recharging? Over the summer, I thought, I need to be recharged. Hands go up. I need to be recharged. To be revived is to be redesigned. It's to change, to be changed, to reform, to reconnect to God. It's to rededicate our lives back to Him. Is to be revitalized. Revive. 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 Become strong. Become active. Become healthy again. Listen. I say with this with all my heart. I need, and I'm confessing to you, I need a personal revival. I need it. I felt in my heart over the last few months that my heart was slipping away from God. And I cried out to God, God, don't let that happen. I need a personal revival. Because I want my life to end stronger and brighter than when it started for Jesus. Amen? Amen? I need a personal revival. You need a personal revival. And our nation needs a personal revival. You know, in the Parliament buildings in Ottawa, there's a part of the building that's called the Peace Tower. And on the Peace Tower, if you go to the next slide, on the east side of that Peace Tower is written this scripture, Psalm 72, verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Who is he? God. On the west side of the tower, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no God vision, our nation will perish. On the south side of the tower, Psalm 72, verse 1, endow the king with your justice. O God, the royal son, with your righteousness, may he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. You know, we have had an incredible Judeo-Christian heritage in Canada. Canada was established to be under Christ's dominion. But Canada has been turning away from God. Just recently, our prime minister was quoted as being saying this: Canada is becoming a new kind of country, not defined by our history, in other words, by our Christian heritage or Christian roots, or European national origins, but by a pan-cultural heritage. There is no core identity, no mainstream in Canada. The Toronto Sun, September 14, 2016, wrote, he sees Canada as the first post-national state. He's talking about all about globalization, which is total bunkum. Even the New York Times caught those words and said, that is radical. That is extreme. The truth is, Canada, for decades, has been turning away from God. We need a revival in Canada. We need a revival. I want to give you four quick reasons why we need a revival right here in our land in Canada. Number one, because of religious decline. Here's some stats. Only 13% of Christians go to church once a week. 13% of all Christians in our country go to church once a week who are regular, faithful attenders. Only 13%. Be a part of that 13%. Let's increase that. Only 2 million Canadians, that is 2 million Canadians, go to church every once a week. Only 2.5 million Canadians go to church on Sunday. That's out of 35 million people. We have a crisis of religious decline, of passion for being in God's house. We also have a theological education crisis. They're trying to shut down all the Christian Bible colleges throughout our country. I say we also have a righteousness crisis in the church. We have a righteousness crisis. You know, many Christians, not everybody, but a lot of Christians are doing what would have never been acceptable 20 or 30 years ago and is now being considered as acceptable. Like having sex before marriage or living together before marriage. You know, Charles Finney said, when the church finds its members falling into gross, scandalous sins, then it's time for the church to awake and to cry out to God for a revival of religion. Right? We need a revival in religion, in Christian faith. Number two, family breakdowns. We need a revival because of broken families, broken marriages, brokenness. You know, the CBC said 4 out of 10 marriages will end up in divorce. You say, well, that's not so bad. Well, it's terrible. That, you know, that doesn't include, that's only for those people who actually get married. That doesn't include all the common law separations that are happening. And the result is broken kids, broken families, broken generation. Psychologist says it takes 10 years minimum to get over a divorce. Who's it hurting? Number three, moral decay. You know, not only are they taking God out of our schools, but these schools are introducing sex education at such an early age. It's causing an epidemic of sexual experimentation in these kids. And it's causing such confusion about what sex was ordained to be about by God. And it's messing up our society like crazy. Moral decay. Very soon, we'll see legalized prostitution. Very soon, we're going to see legalized marijuana. Talk about pornography. Pornography is available 24-hour on just about any device today. Right? They say that homelessness and addictions are at record highs right now. Addictions. Not only are we telling people not taking away that temptation, we're almost giving it back to them. See, the BC Supreme Court right now is deciding whether they're really going to enforce the laws against polygamy. You know what's happening in BC. Euthanasia is already happening. Assisted suicides. They're predicting 150,000 assisted suicides in Canada this year. Wow. You know, we live in severe moral decay and turning, and we're far from God. Number four, we live in a broken planet. We talk about sicknesses and disease are just rampant, like never before. They're putting steroids in meat. And we're eating this stuff, and we're wondering why we're growing differently than we should, right? It's affecting our health. Talk about grains. Grains have no nutrients left. Why? Because they've been so modified. Fruits and vegetables have little minerals. And what used to be healthy is now unhealthy. We live in a broken planet. Right? You know, all this to say the world is so much more technically advanced, yet socially, physically, relationally, religiously, we're so much worse. We need a revival. We need a revival. And that's why this scripture just kind of is coming to the forefront. And Pastor Mel gave us a scripture last week. It is in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Because we need a revival. Because Canada needs revival. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their land, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. Who? Who? Next slide. Who? Who? If my people who call by my name, we can make a difference. Who will do what? Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. Will do what? Humble themselves and pray. Then what will happen? Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Amen? Who will then? Who will? We will. Who will? We will. Right? You know, well, somebody could maybe... Maybe somebody's here and they're saying, well, I really can't do anything about it anyway. I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about my marriage. I can't do anything about my kids. I can't do anything about what's happening in the schools today. I can't help in the economy. You know, see, here's the problem. We can caught up in this in getting apathetic, right? We can be caught up in apathy. We can caught up in hopelessness. We can get caught up in this and what is being named as extreme sovereignty. Extreme sovereignty. Well, whatever is happening, God knows about it, and He'll work it out. Besides, I can't do anything about it. But the scripture says, but if my people, see, the problem is sometimes we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. We don't know what a power and authority we have. And sometimes we forget who we are, that we're not ordinary. So the question is, who are you? Who am I? What does God think about us? Here's what God thinks about us. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Passion translation. But you are God's chosen treasure. You are priests who are kings. A spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. You don't belong to yourself. You were bought and paid for blood by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen? He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen people. You are God's kids, and you have access rights to God. You can make a difference. Amen? You know, we can play that blame game. We can blame others for what's happening in our nation, in our country. We can blame the NDP. We can blame the liberals. We can blame Hollywood, right? We can blame technology, the internet. We can blame our prime minister. We can blame the U.S. president. You can blame your boss. You can blame your spouse. She can blame me. You can even blame the devil. Or you can do something about it. You can do something. We can do something about it. You know, ever feel like you have no voice? You're just one out of 38 million people. Like, what difference can I make? But you can make a difference. We can make a difference together. Amen? Amen. That's why I'm challenging you. In heaven, Pastor Heather gave that challenge. Canada 365. Canada 365. 365 days to pray for our nation. And if you haven't got one of these red, what do you call these? Bracelets? It says Canada 365. Every time I see that, I pray for Canada. And if you haven't got one, we'll get you one. You know, Pastor Heather was woken up by God and given a vision to take prayer teams to every province, to every territory, even to Parliament in Ottawa to pray for 365 days for Canada to turn back to God for revival. We need a revival in our land. We need a personal revival. We need a revival in our country. Amen? You know, it's not the government's responsibility. It's not the media's responsibility. Whose is it? It's our responsibility. Even Jesus said that to us. Remember the famous Lord's Prayer? He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, he told his disciples, he's telling us today, pray these words, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, in Canada, as it is in heaven." Amen. Five elements to every single revival. There have been many revivals in history. Every revival that was a bona fide revival had all five of these elements in it. And when this next great revival that's coming, you're going to see every single one of these. You know how revival starts? First thing that has to happen, number one, prayer. Prayer. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 says, the disciples left the Mount of Olives, returned to Jerusalem, less than a mile away. Arriving there, they went into a large second room to do what? To do what? To pray. To pray. See, Acts is a picture of revival. Acts is a picture of revival. He says, all of them were united in prayer. They were gripped with one passion, interceding night and day. Acts chapter 1, Jesus told his disciples, wait and pray. Get into that upper room and begin to pray. Get into unity. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls and the church is birthed in revival. All of them united in prayer, gripped with one passion, praying day and night. Jesus himself calls this prayer meeting. There were 500 people that were invited to come to this prayer meeting. 120 people showed up. But with this 120 people who were in the prayer room praying and interceding, God birthed the thing called the church. Amen? And through that 120 people, the first 3,000 were added to the church and came into the kingdom of God. It came when people prayed. Just imagine what could happen right here in our church if even just two or three began to agree together and began to pray and intercede for a move of God. What would happen? Amen? See, you have a voice. You have a direct line to heaven, to heaven's throne. And you can do something about it. We can do something about it. You can, I can, we can. Right? We can get God's attention anytime. E.M. Bounds said, every mighty move of the Spirit of God has had its source in the prayer chamber. Every revival had prayer. Every revival had, number two, repentance. If my people would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Right? Humility is repentance. Humility is kneeling before God. You know, something happens when you just get down on your knees and you kneel before God and you get on your face before God. You get God's attention. And it's something I find myself doing more and more all the time. Charles Finney was an incredible American minister, Presbyterian minister. He led what was called the Second Great Awakening in America. It happened in the 1800s in New York. Hundreds of thousands of people had encounters with Christ. Charles Finney said, revival is renewed conviction of sin and what? Repentance, followed by an intense desire and obedience to God. It is the giving up of one's will to God in deep humility. Micah Pelkey says God hates sin, not because he's a hater, because sin separates us from him. Amen. In other words, God hates sin because he loves us. You read the Bible. God's word is a history of people turning from God. God's word is also a history of people turning to God. Right? It's time for God's people to turn to him. It's time. Revival starts, I say. It starts in you. It starts in me. When we start to deal with our wicked ways, with our sin, with our idols, with compromise, justifying the way. You know, I say most of the time God's people live like the world. God calls us to live a holy life. Amen? That's not preached a lot in a lot of churches. That type of preaching can actually empty churches today. But that's the truth. God wants to... That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. To save us from our sins. Not go back into them. Right? All the rules in the Bible are walls of protection and safety for us. They're meant to bless us. Amen? Not to stifle our lifestyle, take the joy out of living. No, it's to give us life, true life, set free from sin. God expects royal behavior amongst his kids. Are you one of those kids? Royal behavior. Revival is when our lives come in line with God's word, not what people say or other Christians, majority say. What does God say? It has to come in line with God's word. So, let's repent. Let's get on our knees and say, God, give me. I want the word, my life to line up with your word. Turn to God. Number three, obedience. Third element of every revival was obedience. A.W. Tozer, that great revivalist, the late Tozer, late great A.W. Tozer said, have you noticed how much praying for revival has been going on of late? That was way back then, in the 50s, 60s, and how little revival has resulted. I believe the problem is that we have been trying to substitute praying for obeying, and it simply will not work. We need not just to pray. He says, yeah, pray, but also obey. You know, God will point up areas in your life that you need to change. Has he ever done that to you? Have you ever felt like the Holy Spirit's telling you, you got to deal with that area, that issue in your life? Do you ever feel that? You know, I believe when he tells you, we need to respond to that. And His presence and His power is there to set us free. If we will just surrender and say, okay, God, whatever it takes, I'm ready to be set free. God is going to challenge you in the days ahead for changes in your life that you need to make. Amen? And God is going to call you to serve. Listen, God didn't just call you to come and to sit and to occupy. He called you to serve and to give and to be a part of this greatest thing on earth. You know, the greatest gift that God could give you, apart from salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, is the gift of His church. He gave you His church to belong to. The church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. When God looks at the world, the first thing He looks at is He looks at the church. Because the world will never get saved without the church. And He wants you to become involved in what He's doing on this earth, and it's got to be involved in the church. Amen. Can I go out on them? And don't get mad at me. Christians that are not involved in church are useless to God. Ouch. I know that's an extreme statement, but John chapter 15, if you're not hooked up to the vine and to His body in His church, how can you bear any fruit? Read that scripture, John chapter 15. If there's no fruit, what does He do? He cuts off the branches, He burns them in the fire. He says, they're useless to me. You need to be a part of a local church. That's how you grow. That's how you're blessed. And you need to be a part that's really connected, really committed. Amen? Amen. I need to hear more amens. Amen. Stand up and say amen. 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 I love His church. I love His church. Thank you. I will die for His church. I'll die for Jesus. I'll die for His church. Because Jesus died for His church. And I'm just following in His footsteps. Amen? Obedience. Karen and I are still serving because of His call. I'm still fighting the call of God in my life. My flesh is still fighting. There are things that I still do not want to do. I'd be really honest with you. If it was just up to me and my flesh and what I want to do, I would have quit the ministry 10, 15 years ago. We would have left. But the call kept us. We could not give up the call. The call wouldn't let us go. And that's why we're still here. You know what God said to me recently? He says, if you quit, you're going to miss out on what I've planned for you all your life. You have had big dreams. Big, big dreams that you've never seen, you've never realized. And you've been here all these years, laboring in the fields. But He says, the day of fulfillment is coming in your life. When you're going to see hundreds, thousands, come into the kingdom of God. And you're going to play a part of it. We're going to play a part of it, silly. My goal is to reach people for Jesus and see them come to Christ, to become like Jesus, disciples. Amen? Obedience always brings blessing. Charles Finney, revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. Fourth element, evangelism. Invite your one. There we go, invite your one. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said to His disciples, you will be my witnesses. You know what that word witnesses means? Anybody know? What does it mean to be a witness? It means to be a martyr. Translate that word. Actually, it means martyr. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. In other words, at home. In all Judea, Samaria, in the distant lands, and to the ends of the earth, other people groups. In Matthew's Gospel 28, Jesus said, go, right? Go. He said, go into all the world. I believe that when you get God's heart, that's when you're going to go. See, the disciples, they didn't just go on their own. They were sent. I say, don't go unless you're sent. But when God tells you to go, go. Amen? Romans 10, excuse me, my glasses are fogging up. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls help God gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? We need to be like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. The nation was in backslidden condition. And God said, I need somebody whom I could send. Who am I going to send? And Isaiah said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. And a coal was taken from the fire. Touched his lips. He said, no, and he was made clean. And immediately God, Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. You know, that's a picture of revival. When we realize that we're sinners and we're living amongst a sinful people, and we say, God, I'm a sinner. And say, God, touch me, you know, and deal with my sin. Then God says, I can use you. Amen. J.I. Packer, J.I. Packer. Revival is a visitation of God, which brings to life Christians who have been sleeping and restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. Then springs a vivid sense of sin and a profound exercise of heart in repentance, in praise, and love with an evangelistic flow. Wow. I believe when your heart is set on fire for God, when you're touched by the Spirit of living God, you just can't help but share the love of God with people who don't know Jesus. Amen? It's a natural outflow. But our heart needs to be stirred again. Amen? Number five, last one, a move of God. Number five, every revival will result in a mighty move of God. Who will then? Prayer, repentance, obedience, evangelism. Then God said, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Listen, there is no then without a who and a will, right? There is no then. See, we have a divine, we have a direct line to God. If we will turn, if we will pray and we will turn, I believe that God would show up. The revival could happen. Revival could happen right now. You know, the psalmist said, can God save a nation in a day? God said, yeah, I can save a nation in a day. If the right things begin to happen, if my people would really get on their faces and seek my face. No, God can change our nation. God can heal our land. We can go from decline to revival. We can go from moral decay to moral excellence. No, we can go from being a sinful nation to be a holy nation, pleasing towards God. Amen? All these things can happen. We go from a broken planet to healing and restoration and wholeness. If my people. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, but you will receive power. That word is translated dunamis, which in the Greek, which means dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Have you experienced his dynamite? Have you experienced his power? You know, we're going to talk about Holy Spirit power next week. Here's the question. What do you think of? And I'm winding down here. What do you think of when you hear the word revival? What do you hear? What do you think? Maybe some of you are thinking about a tent meeting or a crusade. Or maybe some of you are thinking about people being falling over backwards or people being pushed, you know? Maybe that's what you're... Or maybe you're thinking about laughter or crying. You know, there's a lot of weird things that happen in past revivals, right? But when I think of revival, and I've only experienced a portion of the last revival, when I think of revival, I think of Billy Graham. Billy Graham and his mighty crusades on television. And literally hundreds and thousands of people coming to Jesus at that response, That one response, come, give your heart to Jesus. And just this incredible flow of people. Churches growing. Lives being changed. People being set back free from their past. That's what I believe we're going to see in revival. Whenever in a city, a province, a nation turns to God, we will see mass salvations. We're going to see salvations in Canada that were beyond our wildest expectations. I'm believing for revival. I want you to believe with me. When we come to God, He responds. People come to Christ when you come to Christ. If you were at God's altar, you will bring others to Christ. When we move towards God, He moves, He saves, and He revives. Amen? Isaiah 43, verse 18. This scripture is spring into life. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am awakening. I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. God is saying, I'm doing something new. Something new is happening. Something fresh is coming. So, question, what is the next move of God going to look like? What is it going to look like? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know it's going to result in a huge, huge advancement of God's kingdom. People are going to come into the kingdom if my people will seek His face. Amen? Lee Robertson says, let us return to the basic things of the Word of God and prayer and soul winning and revival. Let us pray to God. Oh God, send a revival. Let it begin in me. If my people will call on my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them and I will heal this land. Who will? We will. It's Lethbridge's time. It's Southern Alberta's time. I don't know what's happening, but something is happening. It's begun. It's already beginning. Can you say with me? These words, it's my time. Revival begins with me. Start with me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you for this incredible, costly, divine privilege of having a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for this incredible, divine, royal privilege of having access to heaven, access to throne, to your throne, access to your ears. Father in heaven, we need a refreshing. We need a renewal. We need a resurrection in our lives. We need a restoration. We need a revival in us. We need a revival in our marriages. We need a revival in our families. We need a revival in our church. We need a revival in our province. We need a revival in our nation. And you're the answer. And we're the answer. We want to partner with you like you told us to. The greatest privilege is to be a partner with God. And you're partnering with us to pray. God gives within us, put it within us, a passion to pray, to seek your face, to repent, to obey, and to reach out to see people who don't know you come to Jesus, come to Christ. Stir our heart, stir up our hearts, O God. Stir up our hearts for the things that stir your heart, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone agreed would say, amen. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed for a minute. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you know about Jesus, but you've never personally invited him into your heart to be your personal Lord and your Savior. You can do that today. The greatest decision you will ever make in your entire lifetime will be receiving Jesus into your heart. Just believe that God sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for your son, to pay for your sin, And the way to salvation is by accepting Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, you've never done that. I'm going to give you an opportunity just by saying a very quick, short prayer. Or maybe you're here today, and you're here, but you've kind of fallen away from Jesus. You made a commitment a while ago, but you're kind of far away from God. And you need a new beginning in your life. You need to come back to Christ in your relationship. And if that's you, then I want to lead you in that same prayer. And you can say this prayer with us. In fact, I want all of us here today to say this prayer out loud together. So let's say this right now to Jesus. Are you ready? Say this out loud. Lord Jesus, be leader and Lord of my life. Please forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. I ask you